Hi folks, my name is Ajoy Krishnamurthy. I'm with the Patterns and Practices. I'm here today with Aid Miller, who's the dev lead in Patterns and Practices. We're going to actually do a quick walkthrough of one of the team rooms within Patterns and Practices and talk about what's in a team room and how the teams in PNP are actually using it. So with that, let's walk into the team room and have a quick chat with Aid. We are walking into one of the team rooms in Patterns and Practices. And you must be Aid.
That's right. My name's Aid Miller. I'm the dev manager for Patterns and Practices. Before I was the dev manager here, I actually worked on a couple of projects. So I was on Service Factory Modeling Edition last year, which shipped at the end of the year. And since then, I've been leading the team and trying to help them do their thing.
Okay, so you have lived in one of these team rooms before.
Yeah, I spent 9 months in the room next to this one last year.
Okay, so tell us why, you know, what's so special about this team room?
So the team room has lots of interesting features. So the first thing you'll notice is that all the walls are glass, and people have written a bunch of stuff on them. You'll also notice we have a big projector bolted to the ceiling. There's a screen that actually slides down here so we can project on the wall, not on the glass. You'll also notice that there's a bunch of desks. They're not bolted to the floor or anything. You can move them around. And the power strips under here are all reconfigurable floor panels. So that's sort of the basics of the room.
So that's pretty cool. So this is like a very fancy room here, right? So you talked about writable walls, right? My two-year-old writes on the wall all the time. What's so special?
Well, hopefully the stuff that we write on the walls is a little bit more meaningful than the stuff your two-year-old puts on them, but sometimes I wonder. The teens actually use the walls for having whiteboarding discussions on. So a lot of the stuff written on here has been put up over time, and it reflects like the design of the thing that's being built in this room. People will have, you'll see that there are lists of things. There's a list of somebody trying to do stuff here. There's some design stuff going on up here. So it's very much a collaborative environment, and people have used the walls to help with that collaboration.
Oh, that's perfect. So it gives them a lot of space to actually scratch some ideas and do whiteboarding and whatnot.
Yeah, and as you'll notice, they've pretty much used all of it.
Okay, so when they run out of space or they're stuck in an argument, they use that column there to bang their head?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's part of the feature?
That's pretty much a feature. As you can see, it's a pretty substantial column. You could bang your head against that for a long while, and you'd be good.
Okay, so tell me about the projector.
So, the projector is, again, it's really useful for doing things like code reviews. Teams obviously review their code, they review the state of their project, so you might project up your backlog from TFS up on the wall, especially if maybe you're having a conference call with remote people. You'd have the people in the room, they'd all be looking at a projector here. You'd have remote people looking at the same thing on their machines. And then the other interesting thing we haven't come to yet is the conference phone. So all these rooms have conference phones in so that we can have distributed meetings. Pretty much all the teams at PNP work in a distributed way, so conference phones are pretty darn key.
Okay,
especially combined with the projector.
I see. So tell me about that a little bit more in terms of how the distributed teams are actually working with the team room. Do they come for a team room in a meeting maybe once a month, once a quarter?
Yeah. So the way we like to do it is at the beginning of the project, we try and get everybody here. So we try and get everybody in the room for the first like iteration or two. That like gets everyone up to speed. It also means that when we're doing that early design where no one really knows what the product's going to look like, we've got everyone here and they can do stuff like write on the walls, have discussions, like really high bandwidth discussions together. And then typically what happens is the remote people will go to their remote sites and then they'll come back here periodically for say maybe 1 to 2 weeks in every six, and they'll work out of the team rooms. And in the intervening sort of month, they'll be distributed and we'll be using the conference phone, we'll be using a projector to get everybody as much together as we can.
Right, so you do ad hoc phone calls with somebody that's in a distributed location.
We do ad hoc phone calls, we do, you can do pairing using shared view and MSN Messenger or the phone, you can use the conference phone for that too.
So
it's a very, you need all these things if you're going to run a distributed team and not lose all your bandwidth.
Right. So if I'm in the team room and one of my colleagues is actually on a on the speakerphone talking to somebody else in a distributed location, I just put on my headphone and go on with my work?
Normally, if you're using the conference phone like that, it's normally when most of the team is involved. If you want to have a one-on-one conversation with someone, you're probably using a phone. Because obviously you having a conference call like that could be a bit disruptive. But it takes a while to get used to being in a team room. But you start to get used to filtering out the stuff that's going on around you that isn't relevant. But you also become much better at picking up the stuff that is. So you'll be working away on something and you'll hear a side conversation and you'll realize that, well, that's actually important to me, and you'll go and get involved in it. You'll be like, hey, no, you know, you want to refactor the data access layer. Well, I actually looked at that the other day, and I need to be involved here because what I think you just said you were going to do isn't going to work.
Right. So you raised some important points about the people who are actually being part of the team room. It takes a while to get used to. Or do these folks typically have their own offices, or do they really don't want to be in office anymore?
They don't really want to be in offices anymore.
Okay.
So it takes a little while to get used to the whole team room thing, and you have to stick with it. But essentially, most of the people at P&P who work in the team rooms don't have their own offices. What they do have is there are a couple of shared offices we use here. So the developer team has a shared office. The test team has a shared office that that they can use for putting their personal effects in. And we also have these little side meeting rooms that you can use for one-on-one conversations with other people, conversations that don't involve the team, or, you know, just personal conversations, you know, figuring out other stuff you need to get done. So there are a bunch of places you can go when you don't want to be in the team room, but by and large, people are in the team room the whole time. It takes a while to get used to, but everyone really likes it.
Right. Seems like you're standing behind in front of a wall that's movable, right? I'm assuming you can actually reconfigure the space.
Yes. So the other cool thing about this space is, this one's set up, the team that's in here like it the way it is, but you can completely reconfigure this space. So, for instance, these walls move. You can slide this wall out of the way and expand this room into the one next to it. So if my team grows from like 6 people into sort of 12 people, I can actually make most of these rooms bigger or smaller. There's a curtain here that essentially slides across here to block noise. The other things that are configurable are the desks. You can move the desks around. You can alter the way the power strips are laid out. So you can get a lot more flexibility. If you look in some of the other rooms we have here, for instance, the desks are all the way around the edge, or they're sort of scattered in the middle. So you can actually reconfigure this room the way you want it.
Okay.
You're not stuck with it the way it is.
Okay. So, hey, if I'm part of a team, but where we don't have a team room like this, do I have to actually get a facility like this rebuilt in our organization? Is that the way to get started?
No, you don't have to do that to get started. It's a pretty expensive piece of real estate here. There are lots of other ways to do it. I talked to other teams at Microsoft who are doing this at the moment. We started off by just basically booking a conference room back-to-back for weeks on end and living in the conference room. You can do that. You can do minor building work to give you a shared space, knocking some offices together, that sort of thing. You don't actually have to completely gut the whole space and rebuild it from scratch.
Okay. So any closing comments?
Yeah, I think it's key to understand from the perspective of patterns and practices that this has been an essential part of the way we work and what makes us successful. This whole team-based software approach and having rooms that people can share their work in has actually been one of the key things that's made us successful over the last couple of years.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Aid, for your time.
You're welcome.